When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity, as we know, to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you're all keeping well. We've got some interesting headlines to throw at you. We would have a certain market expectation off the back of those particular headlines. And we're seeing still further market moves which are pretty much ignoring developments and ignoring some of the headlines, which we think are a little bit on the concerning side. So let's break it down for you. We'll provide our trade plan at the end of this session with a bit of a mindset to approach market conditions like we're currently experiencing. It's something we've been through many times before. We go through it many times again, and we'll discuss things as these developments unfold. So we'll start, of course, with our risk warning. We'll just do a quick intro, if that's okay. And all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. And this is a really important feature. You know, what are we trading and why are we trading it? And why are we trading it in the direction in which we want to trade these markets? That is always going to remain quite an important feature behind our trades. And sometimes there is, unfortunately, a complete disconnect. It doesn't mean we throw our strategy out the window and go and start, you know, picking out, I suppose, things like the US markets right now, where there is more reasons to be quite bearish than there is to be bullish. If there is a disconnect, we're willing to just use a bit of capital to just test that thesis, just test that market condition to see if it's a viable tradable opportunity or not. And sometimes the answer to that question is actually no, it's not particularly, not yet anyway. Perhaps it's not a viable opportunity. So we'll trade selection is a very, very important feature. Because if you're trading the wrong markets at the wrong times, it doesn't really matter what your strategy is. It'll either be volatile, choppy, it'll either be doing nothing. So yeah, choosing the right markets at the right time, obviously there's a bit involved in it. But that's where this trade plan session comes in and should prove quite useful. So where do we then enter? So this is more about an exit, more about your trading strategy and decisions made around sort of live price action. Risk management, and we're moving into module 4 next month when it comes to our financial trading mentorship program. Just want to sort of go back to what risk management is. You know, that starts right here at the beginning in terms of which markets to trade. Because if you want to trade high risk, high reward markets, you're very, very willing and able to do that. As you know, we trade macro. You know, some of the biggest markets in the world with lots of liquidity, you can get in and out. But like choosing markets which are more exotic, more with less volatility, less volume, is a risk in itself. So it's not classical, like just a stop loss. The process by which you decide to make a trade and what ingredients you use for that is a risk in itself. So probably haven't explained it particularly well, but we'll be discussing things like this in the next quarter, in the final quarter of the FTMP, which is a really important feature, because everyone thinks risk management is just this sort of narrow stop loss dynamic. And yes, that's a huge part of it, but there is a lot more to risk management than that. So how to manage each trade is an important feature. We're currently in two open trades. The S&P, not too sure how long we'll be in that for. It's proving remarkably bullish. And we can discuss dynamics like trade psychology a lot now at this point. And we've got very good reason to do so. So how do you react at times like this? You're getting conflicting reports and data and headlines and even analysis on Bloomberg, which we discussed yesterday. Within the space of about an hour, we had a really strong bull case, you know, discussed in significant detail, versus an hour later, you had a really, really strong and fearful bear case to discuss for these markets. And that's the phase we're in. That's the cycle we're in. So look, we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of maintaining a high degree of consistency in our approach at all times, accuracy with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient. So I want to share a headline with you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. So I want to share just the Bloomberg news. Just the headline page, the market news. And it's just really, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that on the left-hand side, we've got the S&P hits record as bonds fall before inflation, which is an interesting discussion in itself. It is true, bond yields are falling. They're kind of bouncing off the lows a little bit now. And this is all before inflation is expected to come in higher. So it's a short-term opportunity to just pump the S&P 500 indiscriminately, knowing that there's actually a fairly bearish news event literally a few hours away. So that's always quite an interesting move from market participants. But look, on the right-hand side, at the same time as that major headline, US payrolls marked down a record 911,000 in preliminary estimates. So these are, if you add up all of the headline numbers from US non-farm payroll job numbers over the last year, what this number suggests is we've seen a very significant downgrade. So for whatever reason, whether it's incompetence, whether it's a political pressure, we've seen there's basically in the US economy 911,000 jobs less than what the headline suggested. So the economy is nowhere near as strong and as resilient as we've been told for the last year, pretty much consistently throughout 2024 and going into 2025. It's actually showing significant signs of weakness. And it appears with the headline numbers just in the last few months as well, which this number doesn't include, it appears that sort of pattern is continuing and looks to be worsening quite considerably. And the other thing to note is, however they collate this information, it's quite clear to see that there is something broken in their ability to collate this information. Because out of the last 20 years, including the great financial crash in 2008 and 2009, three out of the last 5 years have seen the largest revisions, just 2025, 2024, 2023. So it appears, according to numbers, somewhere adding them up in the tune of 1.7 million jobs, there's something in the tune of 1.7 million jobs less than what the headline numbers have suggested. So that just means that there is a weakness there that we were all talking about. We could all see in 2023, the recession was coming and it just sort of evaporated. But these job numbers are suggesting that, firstly, there's something wrong with their ability to put these numbers together structurally. And secondly, you know, things are much weaker from a jobs perspective than the markets would, that the BLS and the headline suggest. Then we're going to throw into the mix as well that, you know, that's not it. You know, sometimes you just wish you just had just sort of an odd sort of news event. The next one down is oil rises as Israel strikes in Qatar. So Qatar being a US friendly country, there's now further conflict, it's expected, as a result of that strike in the region. So obviously, you know, Israel have already attacked certain regions in the area, mainly Iran. And we've had pretty much no reaction from Iran on the global stage from what we understand, like unless there's things going on that we don't hear about. But now we can add Qatar to the list as well. Again, US friendly, and it just destabilizes the whole region. Israel going after Hamas leaders. It's an unprecedented attack. And it looks like it's been given the green light by the White House, although there's conflicting headlines from Donald Trump to say he's not really pleased about how it went down and things like that. So I don't know if he did or if he didn't. It appears that I don't think Israel would probably make that move if the US didn't say yes. And this all comes at a time when yesterday in the White House, I don't know if you heard the headlines where they changed the Department of Defense is now the War Department. You know, it's significant in many ways. We had Pete Hegseth, you know, go on this little dribbly rant, sort of trying to rhyme at things. You know, I don't know how serious they take these things, but you know, it's quite an aggressive step from the US to just be more forceful, to take more of an aggressive global leadership role. I'm not sure we really need that, but that, so we've got this change in the name of the Department of Defense, shifting that to the War Department at a time when they sanction Israel to go after Hamas in Qatar now. So worrying in the region in developments, there's going to be probably a reaction in certain markets. We'll see what the, you know, oil is rising, but it's not moving to any sort of great deal, but we'll have a look at that in a second. And then just at the bottom here, it's just worth documenting, Jamie Dimon says US economy is weakening after record BLS revision. So it is a record, you know, we've never seen this number of you know, this reduction in these revisions, in these employment revisions. So just within this alone, you've just got a broad-based conflicting fundamental view and picture of these markets. On one side, you've got lowering bond yields, which is, I suppose, more on the lower end rather than the higher end, but still they're sort of proportionally coming down. You still have that you know, curve steepening, which the difference between the low end and the top end is getting steeper. So you still have the steepening, which is a worry because it suggests that growth and inflation expectations over the longer term are seemingly much, much worse, where investors want to get a lot more for their investment versus the short end, which are a bit more manipulated, like the two end is manipulated by the Fed, who are embarking on a rate cutting cycle at a time when inflation is expected to come in higher. So talking about a market picture and dynamic which is not very good is probably a massive understatement. And then we look at the charts and we see this at all-time highs. In fact, we're now out of the S&P 500. So just to clarify, under no circumstances would we expect this type of rally off the back of the last 15, 16 hours. But that's what we're getting. And we've just got a technical new all-time high as well. So back to the drawing board as far as the US indices are concerned, and it looks like the NASDAQ is there next. So, you know, to look past a weaker economy, to look past US job number revisions, which are the highest on record, it doesn't fill you with much confidence to start piling in, especially with conflict. And I forgot even to mention the incursion from Russia into Poland with these drones. So Polish Air Force had to scramble to shoot down Russian drones in Poland. And I think these are the Russian sort of attack drones and stuff. So again, it's quite an unprecedented move and step taken by Russia. You know, it seems, you know, the rhetoric and the tension seem to be increasing rather than decreasing, despite all the talks of, you know, peace talks and things like that. So things could escalate very, very quickly, which would be a really worrying step for markets broadly. And
hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
For safety and security across Europe. So, you know, it's a pretty big deal, and these markets are brushing all of the negativity off just seamlessly, just like, no, we're okay. You know, the consumer is apparently really strong, although we've had massive revisions downwards. We've got these immigration pressures. We've got this tariff. Now we've got Trump imposing new rounds of tariffs against China. So the whole tariff story hasn't really fully kicked in yet, it appears. But we've got this inflation number due out this week, which is likely to be really quite significant. So that's what our focus is, PPI. So look, we're really wanting to see whether the PPI numbers come in line above or below what the market is expecting. And then we'll probably get a decent market reaction. So as we know from job numbers last Friday, all the numbers, all the four little prints came in worse than expected, and yet stock markets rally to all-time highs. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there, and the good thing about knowing that there's a bit of a disconnect and there's a bit of a strange market dynamic is that if we take a trade, we can trade with smaller risk. This is not really the time to be increasing risk with any high degree of confidence, and it's just because the backdrop is so messy. You know, there's different things that you could point to which can take you in a certain direction, and maybe this sit on the fence approach right now is perhaps not necessarily a bad idea. So if it comes higher than expected, 0.4 across the board or above, you know, that would probably, we'd probably get a very significant market reaction. If it comes in below expectations, yeah. So, Haristo, yeah, kind of sit in your hands. I mean, in terms of trade frequency, you know, we wouldn't be piling in. In fact, we made that decision very purposefully yesterday about the S&P. You know, we had other opportunities across other indices markets and other dollar markets. Did we want to sort of pile in? The answer was no. We really want to just get into the S&P and the euro dollar, see how that plays out. You know, both could turn against us very aggressively. Luckily, one's, you know, in a bit of profit. The other one is has just stopped us out. So we've got tight control over our exposure. We've actually got tight control over our quite tight control over decision-making around our trade frequency as well. So how frequent are we in the markets? Well, we're really, really quite low and reduced. You know, we'd like to be in one or two trades a day, you know, and build a portfolio of four, five, six trades at a time in good market conditions versus now, which is, you know, it's the odd trade here and there, and it's very selective. And we are still coming back to, you know, markets are still sort of trying to normalize after the summer, you could say. So this erratic sort of market dynamic and price action is a bit concerning right now. But look, these things come in waves. So we're going to be watching very, very carefully today. We also have a 10-year bond auction. Be interested to see the demand of the auction. Is it increasing or decreasing? And then the 30-year bond auction tomorrow. So the US government will pay more to refinance debt at the longer end rather than the shorter end. So there is this near-term kind of debt refinancing plan. And that's all well and good unless the near-term starts to spike. Then you've got a pretty significant problem on your hands. But the Fed seemed to be cutting into worsening jobs. So jobs, it appears like we're already in a jobs recession. We're probably in a period of multiple negative job numbers. And again, for whatever reason, the US indices are at all-time highs with significant volatility and aggression. And it's very difficult for us to reconcile, you know, exactly the reasons why. You could point to AI and you could point to corporate earnings, and yes, but there is this underlying concern across those metrics. So just have to be mindful. Now tomorrow CPI is expected to come in higher than what we saw last month, which is really not what the Fed want to see. The Fed are planning to start cutting rates in a jobs recession or an employment recession with increasing inflation. That's not the dynamic in which the Fed should probably be cutting rates at all, but kind of boxed itself in now for that to be a reality. So as inflation's rising, as these revisions kick in and the unemployment numbers are much worse than we all anticipated, the Fed are at the process of cutting rates because of that job number. So they're wanting to save off and prevent the job numbers from getting much, much worse. And that will determine whether we get 25 or 50. So look, we'll discuss this afternoon. You know, this is a very, very significant 24 hours now for, well, a bit more than that, 20, let's say 30 hours. The next 30 hours is going to be really, really quite significant for markets. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Russia and Poland. Fascinating to see what the consequences of Israel attacking Qatar are, because you're really looking to see whether it does impact, I mean, apart from the human tragedy of it all, what impact does it have on markets like oil prices? And when things are volatile, you know, a lot can happen very, very quickly. And we're just going to be, yeah, perhaps sitting on your hands, being patient, waiting for further confirmation, doing a bit of analysis. That's kind of where we're at the minute. And first up, core PPI, which are your input costs. Okay, so look, as a result, we had a good move. Okay, we made new lows in the euro dollar, so our bias is very much to the downside for the euro dollar. We break below this little level here. Our expectation is looking pretty good to the downside. So we can hang in there for the euro dollar. Look, we are getting further upside in the S&P and the NASDAQ. Does that mean we have any interest in buying this market? Unfortunately not, purely because it doesn't fit with our understanding. And if you do your analysis and you arrive at certain conclusions and the markets are doing the exact opposite of what you would expect, that's not a great environment in which to be active. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. So for us, a little bit of patience, see how these things play out, because this could roll over remarkably aggressive very, very quickly indeed. As we know, we've seen it so many times. And this is the move in US oil. It's one worth watching because there's a good strong double bottom down here. And could we see a break? You see, the rejection of yesterday's highs, again, was quite an interesting move. So we rejected the 63.82 and we pulled back really quite aggressively. Then we gapped a bit lower and now we've rallied. So just above 63.80, 82, there's probably a short-term buying opportunity with this conflict in mind. So elsewhere, you're looking at markets like the pound dollar and other dollar pairs. We do like the potential for a bit of a rollover to the downside. And if we get it, there might be other opportunities to look at some further dollar strength. But the indices are something else. And we could see if there's a buying opportunity above the 63.83. And gold, unfortunately, with the breakout 3,400 is still very, very rampant. Yesterday, looking like we were going to get a bit of a pullback. And the answer is no, not really. So just going to 63.83. So I'm just going to just document our trade plans so that we've got so that we understand pretty much what we're doing at a time when that's not particularly that easy. So surprisingly risk on market conditions post US non-farm job numbers, BLS downside, BLS record, it's worth noting, downside revisions, and then Qatar. So Qatar stroke Poland, downside revisions, Qatar stroke Poland tensions. Yeah, so surprisingly risk on. DESPITE, despite US non-farm payroll. BLS record downside revisions. Qatar, Poland tensions. Yeah, it's so wanting to keep all options open. So that's the overriding expectations. And then US oil buy above 63.83. And then just keeping that mental sort of outlook that we want to keep all options open due to broad market uncertainty around Trump trade deals, tariffs, Fed rates, the big beautiful tax bill, what that means for the US economy, conflict in the Middle East, European fiscal spending, when you look at Germany's impact on Europe and the problems we've got in France, of course, didn't include that as another negative. We probably should have a bit of a sort of a mini European crisis around France being the second largest economy in Europe. And then ongoing Ukraine conflict, which is now escalating, it seems, into Poland potentially, unless there was some sort of error there. But you shouldn't be, if you're Russia, you shouldn't be making these sorts of errors. I'm sure it's more on purpose. So look, we'll broadly keep our options open. We will certainly have a look for further indices strength. And we've got risk on, so we've got an important kind of market dynamic playing out. We're just not particularly in tune with the direction. So there's your market summary posted there into the chat box. On that note, guys, let's wrap it up. Thanks very much for joining us. And the market is probably reacting. The indices are looking a little bit more bullish, more so to do with the Fed. and the fact that they are embarking on some rate cutting, but they're doing so going into really significant US job downgrade. So we're potentially in an employment recession. So the economy is not as healthy as far as the hard data is concerned. Now, all the soft data has been weak for quite some time. Now the hard data is getting weak. The inflation numbers are getting weak. So all of this stuff, it's all quite impactful. So that's probably the ultimate reason. Plus AI is ticking away in the background as well. But that's the main reason for buying the indices. When it comes to the dollar, we're probably buying the dollar more so out of these recessionary fears due to these headlines and the impact that these weaker jobs number, weaker economy, throwing everything into the mix. We're not really getting much of a follow through from US bond yields, but we very well may do. So look, we're stuck between two sort of really significant narratives going in different directions. So we'd prefer probably the currency markets. They're just a little bit more affordable and often a little bit easier to trade. Right, great stuff. On that note, guys, listen, thanks very much. Do reach out if you've got any questions about any of this. And those of you that could join us for the European trading session, we're very welcome to join us. You are very welcome to join us in our European trading session momentarily. If you want to join us for that, we'll see you there. We'll be broadcasting about a minute's time. Great stuff. Okay, on that note, guys, listen, we'll carry on the discussion and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.